And we are on, just like that. Okay. So normally we say it's a lot quieter without the kids here, but I have to say today that's not true.
Well, that's good.
That's right.
Noisy bunch.
Huh?
We're a noisy bunch.
A noisy bunch. It's great. I love it. I don't think church should necessarily be quiet, right?
Amen.
As long as it's for him and it expresses love, then there should be no volume control on that.
But not chaotic,
decent in order. No, he's not the God of confusion or chaos. Amen. Spirit, love, sound mind. He's also the God that flips tables in the sanctuary. And that's okay too. Huh? That's right. It's just like, you know, Indiana Jones. Okay, so we will get started here in a second. We had one more testimony that was just not able to be shared. I'm sorry.
Hello, I chickened out earlier. Some people know that last fall my father was intubated for 2 weeks. The doctors were telling us, they weren't telling us, but I could pick up on their mannerisms that they were not hopeful that he was going to make it through, and with prayer, and he made it through. But then after, he was in an alternate reality where he thought he was working, he thought my mom was his coworker, and it was truly... it was awful. It was a nightmare. He fell, you know, several times, and we just kept praying. In Bible study, the girls were praying a lot for him. And then late winter, we found out, you know, certain things, and we were able to kind of tweak some medication and also seek alternative help. And he is doing incredible. He is walking. He's cutting his grass, which he absolutely loves. He just moved. Him and my mom just sold their house with no problems whatsoever, and now they're next door to my sister. So it is just incredible. So, praise God.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody for your prayers. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we have been in this series for at least a decade. By the way, we want to say thank you to Ted. He just jumped in this week. We borrowed him from another church on his off week between worship sets. And you were a great fit, and appreciate your time and your help and just being with the family, you know? Awesome. So the series, we're looking at the Bride of Christ. We've been studying the book of Esther, and we've been watching the path of Esther as the bride and her story and how that applies to us as we walk our path with the bride, as the bride, with Jesus, right?
Yes.
Did you just change?
I was just supporting my favorite player.
Where did that come from? That's awesome.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's my favorite team player.
That's so. That's funny. It's like you definitely were not wearing purple today, earlier. Well, that's funny. Thank you for your support. If you ever watch me play, you might decide to take it off.
No, we're proud of you.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Where do you go from here?
You know, right. I can't even tell you what I was thinking. Huh?
No.
Okay, the restraint is good? Okay. You saved me. Thank you. So last week, we were looking at how, we talked about this already before worship started, how the Bride of Christ is a wise investor because she makes sure that all of her dealings are profitable. And we talked about how in that statement that always her deals are profitable, I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about decisions and actions and investments of your life and your heart, and how, you know, to say always profitable means that the return is not dependent upon the environment, the economy, the challenges. It's not dependent, right? Because as God's wisdom is in us, and as we're just dedicated to sow into the most important things, right, then he's going to make sure that there's always a return. If you look at a lot of Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God, they tended to be around investing or sowing, you know, sowing seeds, right? Why is that important? Because we talked about how the church as a whole, America church, right? I can't speak to the rest of the world. Often it has moved its investment away from the most critically important things and how we've accepted and just settled for wisdom in exchange for his power and his grace in our life. Or how we've exchanged maybe culturally relevant things we've allowed to substitute in for the really challenging parts of walking out scripture, right? And we've kind of justified and reasoned some things in, and before long, we've mixed a lot of yeast into our bread, right? And it just doesn't look the way Jesus intended it for it to be. And how we have to invest only in the things that he's called us to invest in, or else pretty soon we'll just start to see the church migrate into this organization that doesn't resemble what Jesus is coming back for, right? Okay, if you want to go back and listen to that, it is online. I don't need to preach it again, although I could save my notes for next week if I did. We talked about in the story of Esther how the enemy of the story was killed by the king, right? And we talked about how that's kind of like the day that Satan was thrown out of heaven, right? And he was destroyed. His work was done, right? And when Jesus died and rose again, Jesus took back the keys to the kingdom of God, and he now rules in authority over all things, right? And we could say that would be the moment, even though the story's not over, they lived happily ever after the end, right? But if the devil is defeated and if his authority was totally stripped, how come I'm still dealing with problems and issues, and what should I do with that, and how should I reflect on God in those problems? As I face those things, I find my heart becoming angry, bitter, hardened toward him, and wait a minute, I thought the enemy was defeated. So that leaves me with the big why, God, right? And that's a loaded question, even though it's only two words. Why, God? Because it comes with it so much heartache and attitude and grief, and right? And that's kind of where I want to pick up. Where do we want to go? Esther 7, we're going to skip that. That was just what I covered quickly. So we're going to go to Esther 8, kind of near the end of the deck. Yeah, we're going to the back. Just because you like to be thrown off so much. All right. So then Esther went again before the king, falling down at his feet and begging him with tears to stop the evil plot devised by Haman the Agagite against the Jews. Remember, Haman's now dead, but his plot is still moving forward to annihilate anyone who's of Jewish birth. Again, the king held out the gold scepter to Esther, which means, okay, you can come in. And she rose and stood before him. And Esther said, if it please the king, and if I found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I'm pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, who ordered that Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed? Then King Xerxes said to Queen Esther and Mordecai, her uncle the Jew, I have given Esther the property of Haman, and he has been impaled on a pole because he tried to destroy the Jews. Now go ahead and send a message to the Jew in the king's name telling them whatever you want and seal it with the king's signet ring. It's like a blank check, right? Here you go, blank check. You got my ring. Whatever you say is going to happen. There's just one condition, but remember that whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked. Okay? So there's a law that's already in place that says on the day of Purim, which is coming up within that year, every Jewish person is supposed to die. Like, everyone just go massacre your neighbor and take their property. That's your reward for your time and effort, right? So, Esther, I'm giving you a blank check. Do whatever you want. You just can't change that law. And that just like brought me and my heart right back to kind of like where we, the church, are today. It's like, okay, so the enemy's been defeated. His authority's been broken. He has no hold over us, right? You got a blank check. Go use it. It's the authority of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You've got scriptures. You have everything you need, right? You have the Holy Spirit within you. And yet we have this sense, but I can't change the darkness that's on the earth today. And I can't force the furtherance of sin that is propagated through brokenness and people to just change in the direction I want it to, right? I can't undo that. I have all this, but I... Right? Do you feel my frustration? Do you feel that way, or is that just me? You feel that way too?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Then we're in the right place. I'm sensing that God just wants us to know, like, there's certain things that are happening on the earth that are part of a greater plan, okay? If you're curious what the grand scheme of that plan is, then read Daniel and Revelations. Right? And if you're looking at a smaller rollout of that plan, you're going to see that in the early book of Genesis, where death and sickness and sin was rolling out because of man's brokenness and decision to, right? Now, he redeemed us, but the fullness of that redemption is here, and yet it's not yet, right? We're living in that tension of, I have it, and I feel like it's still coming, and yet I can sometimes, like, and I know you can too, we can pierce through that thing and pull down heaven, and we can experience breakthroughs. And then there are these days where it's just like, Lord, I'm just going to have to rest in your promise that's to come. And it's attention, right? We talked about last week how the Lord likes a good wrestling match with us. Like, he wants us to press into him. He doesn't want us to be so angry with him and where we are in the moment and the feeling that we have no control that we actually just give up and walk away from him. Right? It's okay to question, it's okay to wrestle, but that wrestling's supposed to take he and you to the floor and work it out until it's done. Guess who's gonna win? Right? Right? And that's what he wants. I mean, he wants to really wrestle the junk out of our heart. That's right. Now, there's a part of us that are saying, well, if he really loves me, he's going to just change all this stuff. And he's like, because I love you, I'm going to get you free of all that junk inside that makes you question me and makes you bitter against me and makes you frustrated and rage inside. I'm going to set you free from all that stuff that you'd rather not touch if I didn't just allow some stuff to come right up to your door and scare you. You know, to surrender, right? And you're looking, well, show me the theology on that. I'm just talking now, okay? And if you've got a better analogy, it's okay. I don't have to be right all the time. This is what I know. John 10:10 through 11 says that the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And my purpose, Jesus said, is to give them rich and satisfying life, to give them life to the fullest, right? And so what I do know is I can't pin anything in the realm of killing, stealing, and destroying on Jesus. It wouldn't be within the context of who he is to be able to do that, right? So anything that brings life, even in the moments of killing, stealing, and destroying, then I can pin that to Jesus because he came that we could have that, right? The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Well, God, I would rather you just got rid of the wolves. He's gonna. In the meantime, though, you know, our heart has been called to focus on the shepherd, the giver of life, right? And not to live focused on the problem. And it is really easy. And I, you don't know how many of you that I talk to who have said to me something along the lines of, like, I can't watch the news anymore. I've had to really reduce my time on the news, on Facebook, on the, right? I've had to just cut out some of focus because I found I was drowning in problems and fear, right? And I think that's okay. Like, some of you are like, well, you can't completely check out. You'll be uninformed. You know what? All I'm saying is if your mind is focused on Jesus and you really just want to get free of the fear and the toxicity and all that stuff, take your time out. Go on vacation, right? Do what you have to do if your heart truly is locking in, sync with the Father. Amen? So let that be free, okay? You good? Okay, check this out. I want to talk to you about some of the awesome flips that the kingdom of God has done. And so We actually covered this several months ago, and I want to bring it back around. But the way our God is the greatest judo master that I know of, right? And he uses the energy of the enemy against himself and bam, leaves him helpless, right? The greatest one of those was in at the cross, 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 9. Kathy, is it there? Please. Did you find it? Like next slide? No? Okay, I'm going to have to read it to you then. All right, cool. Thank you, Kathy. The wisdom that we speak of is the mystery of God. Do you like the mystery of God? Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's awesome. Either way, he's God. And I wouldn't want to serve a God I could control. Right? His plan was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world had not understood it. And if they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. Too late, no take backs. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Like, that's the God we have to focus on. The one who has prepared a plan since before the world began. He executed it. He totally made the enemy regret it. They wish they could take it back, but they can't. And now we are going to walk into that future glory because of his kindness in our life. Right? Right? And yet, at the same time, if we're going back to the analogy of our story of Esther, a date has been set on the calendar for our extermination. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these important messages, right? The fear-mongering must have been awesome during that time. Right? On Babylonian News? BNN. The most trusted network. It's all babble to me, right? Now you're just laughing at me. It's the wisdom of God that turns weapons used against us into blessings. It's his wisdom that can do that, right? Jesus suffered our penalty so that we could be turned from the victim and from the one who's to be judged into the one who is proactive and mobilized an army to undo the work of darkness on the earth. Guess what? And I'm not going to read this because I don't think we have the time for it. But guess what? The solution Esther presented as the law in response to the one that said on the day of Purim coming up this year, every Jewish person is supposed to be exterminated. Guess what that law was to counteract that? Okay, you're hopping up and down.
You get to fight back.
That's right. Fight back. Fight back. I mean, wait a minute. I don't want to fight. I just want. Right? Yes. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like there's a response that's, but wait a minute, I don't want that. I'd want you to just make a law, stop the attack, put down the weirdos. I want you, right? Refund the police. Do whatever you have to do. Do whatever you have to do. Protect me. I don't want to fight. And they're like, no, the law is you get to pick up your own weapon and fight back. That's the solution. I want to find another church, right? I need one of those that tells me, you know, it's my best life now and God's going to bless me if I, right? That is what the bride has been given. Not only the tools, but the permission. Go, fight and put this stuff down. And I'm not talking human thinking, okay? Yep. All right? I'm not talking about putting human beings down. I'm talking about angels and principalities and demons and rulers of this darkness, right? And just that dark agenda, that Jezebel spirit on the earth that's controlling, manipulating, bringing fear and forcing something on us and on other people that we love, right? And we were called to counteract that. And we've been given the mighty name of Jesus, which is power. and the Spirit of God. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Greatest flip of all time. If they could take that one back, we shouldn't have killed him. We shouldn't have killed him. Note to self. Joseph, you remember when his brothers threw him in the well? They sold him off to Egypt. They never regretted it until they saw him 20-some years later. And they were afraid because now he is first in command under the Pharaoh. And Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me into this position so I could save the lives of many people."
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. One more instance of God just taking a weapon and flipping it. Right? And the guy who was in jail is now the guy saving the known world at that time, from Egypt all the way up into, you know, up into the Iraqi area, Mesopotamia, right? Do you understand, like, the thing that God is trying to do on the earth is to take our brokenness and flip it. And he's not just doing it so that we can all celebrate and party and say, look what I've dumped off. Let's compare and let's talk about it. And you got to dump that off, Jason. Well, I got to dump this off. No, we're supposed to use that, right? That's the stuff that God has given to us, those victories, to help save the lives of many people.
Right?
And so there's this new mantra that we have to really incorporate into our life, and that is, when something else happens against us, God, what are you doing that's wonderful in this circumstance that is going to be a blessing to not only me, but to other people? What are you doing that's good here? Right? Yes? This is how we replace the why God. Instead, we replace it with the how. Is this going to be good, God? Right? Was I talking to? I love on the Chosen movies, the TV series, how sometimes when Jesus is about to do a miracle, one of the disciples like hits the other and is like, "He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. What? He's gonna do it again, right?" Well, yeah, watch this, watch this. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's the posture of our life, and I know it's not easy to do that when the problem suddenly falls on your lap, right? It's really easy to do that when it's like, it's Casey's problem, right? And I'm like, watch this, he's going to come to Casey's day. But now when it's like in my lap, I'm like, yeah, right? So we have to encourage each other. We have to come around each other, support each other. We have to push each other. We can't let each other stay in that broken, why God place, right? You've been given the ticket to fight, and you know we need to hit each other and say, pick up your sword. Come on. Yeah. It is on. It just delays.
It's on. Oh, there it is. I just wanted to share a little bit of an example of that. So this weekend, as our spouse, you know, we have to stand next to each other through Christ and through every situation. And we were dealing with this, like, email that was a little cryptic, and we're going down this like path of like worry and fear and what if and I can't believe and how are we going to plan for this, and we both looked at each other and we said, no, right? That is not of him, and he is intended for our good. We may read through the lines and try to create this false narrative, but he's already written it. It's already there, right? So now we trust the process. And we see it through all the way to the end with confidence. And it's our job to be able to recognize that when we're seeing that fear take over, mm-hmm. and for our spouse to be stand there with them, but also as another believer, when somebody's going through that, we said, no, what is the greater good? What is the purpose? What is the process that he's putting us through? And I wanted to share just another word that came to me through Allison's testimony, or just inspiration about the fire, walking through the fire. He's the ultimate refiner. Mm-hmm. He wants to make sure that we are polished and perfect through the process. Mm-hmm. And we just have to trust him through that, whatever that is.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Good, good job. And that leads in well to a scripture that we don't have on the screens in Romans 5. So, Kathy, you have the day off almost. So you have to turn here in your Bible. It's Romans 5, page 913, and it ought to be yellow by now. If you don't have a highlighter, let us know. Highlighters are standing by. So I'm just starting at the very beginning of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. The struggle of saying, well, the why, God, are you still mad at me? What is up is done. There's no more going back to that. We have peace with God through Jesus. Amen. Am I good enough? Are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to punish me? Is it right? No, it's done. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. Makes me kind of resemble in my mind that place Esther had in the kingdom, the highest place. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Confident and joyful. Like everything Jesus did when he went to the cross was done so that you could be confident and have joy. You know how he is a wise investor? That's why he can ask us to be wise investors. He invested everything he did in his death and resurrection. His whole life on the earth was done for your joy and for your confidence. Why do you think we all struggle with insecurity and frustration and right? It's because that's really what the enemy would like to distract us from is confidence and joy. And joy is a choice, right? It's a fruit. You enter into it. Amen? Okay. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Nobody said amen. Oh, there you go. Okay. Go on. We can rejoice too because it's a choice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to endure, right? And you think about those Christians that you've maybe respect and you've watched them and there you're like, wow, I wish I could be like them. You understand what they've walked through to get there, right? Right? Okay. The endurance develops strength of character in us. Raise your hand if you love character building. Jason did. Jason and I, we love character building. Yay!
I love the results of it.
Yeah. Yeah, someone would say, if you're praying for character building, just tell me so I can step away for a while. Little social distancing thing. Endurance develops strength of character in us, and character develops our confident expectation of salvation. So that confident expectation in the middle of chaos that says, no, God will be here. He will provide. He will heal. He will come through. That came from people who allowed their character to be developed through the endurance, through the problem of just walking it out in joy with Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah? Right? That's right. My God will come through. I said it because she didn't have a mic. And this expectation will not disappoint us. I feel like we should all just say, I will not be disappointed.
I will not be disappointed.
Gotta remind yourself of that one. Because the hope that he died for us to have was not meant to leave us disappointed. It's not like you're feeling like you're throwing all your odds on red and the roulette table landed on black, right? It's not like that. It's not like we gambled on something and we've got a 50-50 chance of this being wrong and disappointing us. It's a 100% chance that we will not be disappointed unless you let your attitude go there.
Right?
Right?
And disappointment comes from expectations, right? So our expectations need to be in him,
mm-hmm.
not in the world.
Amen. Beat me to it. Expectations have to be on Christ, not on the world. Brendan.
No, just going in with the perseverance and the refiner's fire, scripture came to me that, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The part we normally miss is the fact that God doesn't say the weapon's not going to be formed. Mm-hmm. Just as it's not going to prosper.
Amen. 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 All right. Very good, Brendan. You're a smart fella. Where was I? Did I leave off?
Verse 5,
thank you. You will not be disappointed because you said so. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Yeah, today's Pentecost. The day that the Holy Spirit made you his permanent address.
Yeah.
Right? And why would he do that? To fill your heart with the love of God. Right? He was like, dang it, they have a hole, they leak, and they don't understand my love. I guess I have to move in. Right? I guess I have to move in. I'll show them. Right? And it doesn't say that he came so that we could experience the love of God. It's so that our hearts could be filled. Yes. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and he died for us sinners. When we were utterly helpless, right? And I need to bring that back up and back around because, you know, the way that you started is the way that he's going to consistently move through life with you, right? Because he doesn't change. And so if he met you when you were utterly helpless back then and you were a sinner, now you're his kid. And if you find yourself utterly helpless, is he going to change? How can he? How can he change him, right? An unchanging force. He's wild in nature and he's uncontrollable. And I love that about him, but he is not going to change who he is as a father. And if he came when we were utterly helpless in sin, he'll still continue to come when we're utterly helpless and we're redeemed and we're his children. Right? Yeah, that's like a, okay, I just want to fall over. Swoon at the goodness of God. Right? He's awesome. I feel like there's nothing more to say. I'm just going to, can I drop the mic? Oh. Dropping a lav is just not the same effect. What's that?
Just drop it on the chair so it doesn't break.
Okay. Yeah. What?
Two people said that, so it must be true.
Well,
drop it on the chair.
Or else it'll break.
So it doesn't break.
Are you daring me?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm in agreement that we don't drop it.
All right, two more verses, and then I promise to let you go. This is something that it's critical to understand. It's still part of this, you know, regardless of the environment, we were called to be productive. And this is where, when we find ourselves in the struggle, sometimes we check out from serving, from loving others, from trying to be a blessing, from expecting that the Lord is going to meet us and help other people because we're broken. Have you ever been in that place? And you're just like, I don't feel like I'm any good to anybody, right? And the fact is that your feelings really have nothing to do with this. If your feelings, like, if your ability to be used by the Holy Spirit was based on your feelings, then you just tied God's hands, and you're pretty powerful, right? So in Jeremiah 17, which is also not in this deck, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says this, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long moments of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. Right? Like, especially in drought, right? We've covered this before recently, right? So this is not, like, new. I'm bringing it up, though, because there's got to be consistency in this message as we press through our challenges of wrestling with God. We're still a blessing. We're still expected to be used. We're still like-hearted with Jesus. And if Jesus wants to do things on the earth, we're expected to do them with him, right? It's a good get off your butt and stop feeling sorry for yourself moment. Yes, and I got reasons too, okay? So let's all just do this thing together. Can I show you another one? And this is the other verse I said that I wanted to do. This is Hosea. A little harder to find. Yeah, it's a skinny book. And if you sneeze, you blew right by it. That's right. Okay, so in Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, The Lord actually says, and you're going to love this, O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who looks after you and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green, giving my fruit to you all throughout the year. Do you see a theme? Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those who are discerning listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people will live by walking in them. So even there where we're like, God, I don't feel like I can be any good right now. I'm questioning you. I'm frustrated. I'm under attack. Blah, 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 blah. Fill it in the blank, right? I don't feel like a green tree in a drought season. I feel like a dead tree. Well, he's like, well, I'm your green tree. I produce fruit. Come to me. And if you're wise and understanding, you will follow in my path. Follow in my path. That means I get to be a tree. If he's a tree, I get to be a tree. If he's green all the time, I get to be green all the time. Why? Because my roots are in him. Draw. It's not about things. It's about him, right? And so I produce because he produces, regardless. Right? And sometimes serving, loving, sacrificing, giving are just what you need to get your head out of your problem and your brokenness. Yep. Yeah, you should. Then you're going to make problem a bad word, aren't you?
No.
Okay, good. All right, I'm good. Are you good? All right. I'm just going to lead off of a prayer, and I feel like... I'll say it this way. I'll ask the question. Did anybody feel like they got something from the Lord during worship? Like he actually met you in that moment and spoke to your heart and maybe changed an attitude, addressed a fear, a concern. Did you get it? You did. Didn't you? You sons of guns, you did. Good for you. No, all right, so that changes the whole dynamic of how we pray at the end. I don't need to pray like, Lord, meet my needs, right? We can change this prayer. Yep. Okay, well, let's pray then. Lord God, thank you for meeting us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for changing our attitude. Thank you for addressing fear. Thank you for addressing rage, panic, doubt. Thank you for putting hope into hopeless situations. Thank you for reminding us that you are a green tree producing fruit all the time for us. Thank you that we have been called to be like-hearted. As the bride of Jesus, we are to be like the green trees in all season producing fruit for others, God. That other people literally can come and be blessed by us because we are being fed and blessed by you. God, I ask for a change in our attitude that will start transforming our why God and I'm no good in this kind of situation to Lord, how can you be so much bigger and greater through me? How can you produce good in this? Where are you, Jesus, and how can I join you? God, I pray for brokenness to begin to be put back together as we lay down and sacrifice our desire to just pursue your heart, Father. God, I ask that you will pull relationships closer as they start to sacrifice of themselves for others, for your will. Lord, that they will see themselves, relationships reforming, God. I ask for broken and bad habits to fall away as people stop looking at what they shouldn't be doing and start looking at the thing that you're calling them to do and to do it with all their heart. And in this process of character building, God, we're just so grateful that you died so that we could have joy and confidence. And I pray that joy and confidence will rise up within every person here today, that as they walk through whatever situation, whether health, finances, struggles, relationship issues, work issues, whatever's coming, Father, that as they walk through, that they can maintain their joy and confidence because it's centered on you, feeding from you. Jesus. Oh, and we're so thankful that you would allow us to settle our eyes on you, that you would make yourself available to us, that we could sink an anchor into you, and you're just fine with that. You like that. Thank you that you like that. Thank you that you're unchanging, you're dependable, that, Lord, as we were utterly helpless, you died for us at just the right time. So we look to you to step in at just the right time once again, and we stop trying to control you, and we now just commit Jesus to join you in whatever you're doing. Can we all say that? I commit to join you, Jesus. I'm not going to control you anymore. You get to control this situation. Make me a blessing. Yeah. Thank you so much, God, for using us, for moving through us, for living in us, and for shedding the love of God abroad in our heart. We love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We good? Is it a good one? Okay, good. Then I get to come back. No. All right, guys. Well, we love you. You are dismissed. Please pick up your children.